Good morning, welcome to episode 6 of the Beach Business Breakfast Show. Today we've got Wayne with us from Insurance for Living.
Morning.
Just a quick reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month at Merriweather Beach, 7:30 to 8:30, $10 with a bit of a donation to the surf club, and you can meet some great new business contacts in a relaxed, informal environment. So, Wayne, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Dave.
You look very, very tropical.
Tropical, yeah. I'm ready for anything.
Sensational. Very, very good. So, Wayne, tell us a bit about what you did before you went into business for yourself. What's your sort of background?
Well, Dave, that's a lifetime ago when I went into business for myself, because I've been in this business now for 28 years.
Okay, yep.
So originally I was a bank teller with the Commonwealth Bank.
Okay.
And then I went into real estate with Colin Chapman Real Estate for about 5 years.
Okay.
And then I decided to go into financial planning, risk insurance.
Okay, sensational. So with Colin Chapman, what did you do there? Were you doing like sales? Or?
Yeah, licensed real estate agent. I'm still a licensed real estate agent, but I don't practice anymore.
Yeah, okay, excellent. So tell us a bit about why you decided to go from real estate into planning and insurance.
Well, if anyone can remember, 28 years ago, real estate wasn't booming like it is now.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of timing there. And I had a couple of mates that were in financial planning, and they just seemed to be getting ahead better than the real estate agents back then. So
that was the 1983 session. I think I probably wasn't 80s. Conscious of the news of the time.
About 85.
Yeah.
You mightn't have been born.
Well, I was born, but I wouldn't have been paying attention to the national news, I don't think. So
yeah.
I wasn't employed
well, in the early 80s, like financial planning wasn't that well known, and then I remember Colonial sort of had a big ad campaign about getting financial plans and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that sort of went, now it's sort of a big thing. So,
yeah, back in 85, a big sale in Newcastle was about $200,000
house. Yeah, so now you're up near the millions.
Yeah, now you're in the one in Dudley, $8 million, so...
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Was there something of that era, digressing a little bit, but that people were becoming more aware of their financial future, or was it just, people were working and getting jobs and this is a natural progression?
Well, actually, in 88 there was a big there was a crash after 88. Before then there was returns where people were getting 20% returns on their money, so it was a better return to be in shares and investments than houses. So
yep.
And then there was a crash about a year after I got in it, we had a crash, so timing is hasn't
yeah,
been that
had
good.
A couple since then, like the dot-com crash and then the GFC and those sorts of things. So with Insurance for Living, what sort of things do you do for people? Like what do you do? What sort of services you provide?
So my real niche really is where I really like the best is just risk insurance.
Yep.
And just doing basic stuff. It's nothing too complicated. It's just life insurance, income protection,
yep.
Trauma insurance, and total and permanent disability.
Okay.
Just basic stuff that any young family with kids, a mortgage, got an asset, their income, just need to insure.
Yeah, just to make sure that they can keep their... Pay their bills and maintain their standard of living.
Yeah.
Cool. So with... do many people... Is it a hard sell?
Do people accept that that's a good idea, I suppose?
Yeah, I suppose that's a thing.
They still think, this is a bill I don't need to pay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit discretionary rather than, you've got to eat and you've got to pay the power bill.
It is a bit of a hard sell. To me, it's pretty black and white, but so I do get a bit frustrated with it a bit. But, 90% of people with a car have their car insured.
Yeah.
80% of people with a house have their house insured. But only 30% of people have income protection.
Yeah.
And I just say to people, what's your biggest asset? And they say, their house.
Yep.
Or a young person, a car.
Yep.
But say their car's worth 20 grand, their house is worth $500,000. But if they're earning $50,000 a year and they're going to work for the next 30 years, their income is worth $2
million. Yeah, so it's a big asset.
And I don't like to say I'm selling insurance, I like just trying to educate people to think, your biggest asset is your income, because with your income, you pay your house, your car, your kids, your electricity, your gas, and go on holidays and provide for retirement. And if you haven't got your income coming in, how do you do all that?
So we're moving, say, from real estate into financial planning. How did you get your first couple of clients?
Well, like any multi-level marketing person or anyone going into business, it's your family, your friends, referrals. Back in those days, that's 28 years ago, there was a thing called cold calling. I don't know whether they do it anymore, but you used to just knock on doors. You just walk up the street, knock on doors and say hello. Now you can't knock on doors. There's a cold calling register. People don't like getting cold calls, so you can't ring people. But back in those days, it was...
That's assuming anyone's home.
Yes.
It was flat chat. Anyone breathing, I could grab.
And so marketing has changed quite a lot in the last, I'm going to say, 30 years. Like we've become digital, I guess, over that period. But have people's comprehension or enthusiasm for life insurance or sort of risk management, has that changed much over that time, do you think? Or basically, there was a percentage of the population 30 years ago that worried they were going to get cancer and die, and there's still that same percentage of people, and everybody else doesn't care.
Well, there's certainly a lot of facts and figures to show that there's a lot more advertising in the paper, on the news, about the rate of cancer, heart attack and stroke, but it doesn't seem to have jogged too many people's
getting more concerned or thinking about it.
No, advertising for me hasn't really worked in so far as people don't wake up and think, I need to get insurance.
You know, they've had something go wrong and then it's too late.
Or they know someone that's happened to them. Tweaks. I think that's where, like, you see in that industry a lot of case study advertising. You know, they say, you know, here's the husband and wife and the something's happened to the husband, and because they had insurance, they were able to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so the benefits of it.
It's easy to think that those things happen to other people, right? I don't have car accidents or I don't have, falling off cliff accidents or anything but other people have those problems. They should have insurance, but I guess that mentality is very easy to adopt, and until something does go wrong
My wife has sore ribs because when I'm sitting watching the TV and on comes A Current Affair, and every week there's a
bit of a horror story
of someone who's got cancer, had a heart attack, needs their house renovated, looks after the kids, no family. And I'll say, I know what they're going to say next.
So
hit her. And we didn't think it would ever happen to us. That is the typical thing.
Yeah, all people just say, it always seems on the news when people's houses burn down, they're always uninsured.
The people that are insured, they don't make good news.
Person
with life insurance that has had to get their leg amputated or, I don't know, whatever other horrible thing happened to them, the reporters don't turn up and go, so, what happened? This bad thing, and I've been paid to get it sorted out.
We're fine, we're insured.
Fundraising drive for that person, is there?
Why do you think clients come back to you? Like, there's plenty of other people doing financial planning and risk insurance. Why do you find that, customers refer you or your referral partners, say to their friends, look, Wayne's the person to talk to, or one of your staff?
Well, I'd like to think the first thing is that I'm pretty genuine about what I'm doing. I can really see the need for people to have it. Trustworthy, they would say those things, honest, trustworthy. Genuine. To get insurance, sometimes there is a lot of things to go through, because that's the main thing with insurance. You've got to get it in place properly to begin with. Because the bad stories you hear on the news is because they haven't got the insurance in place in the first place. They haven't told the whole truth about their medical.
They've had a history of a heart attack or something.
And they're the horror stories you hear. People don't get paid. So I like to think if people referred to me, I don't try and oversell people.
Yep.
It's more a casual, you know, most of my clients become a friends.
Yep.
And I just try and make it easy because a lot of tradespeople that I deal with are busy, you know, they don't like paperwork, they haven't got time, they don't want to fill out forms, they don't want to go to the doctor and all that. So I want to take all that away from them and just say, look, this is your, what you need, this is your problem, this is how we're going to do it, and I get it done.
Yeah, you take the pain away, that's the thing.
Yeah, just
simplify the process and then, you know, do as much as you can to get it in place and make sure it's up to date and that sort of thing. You know, regular reviews and that sort of thing, I imagine. It's
such a personal kind of thing to deal with, like, in a sense, they're bearing their vulnerability to you, so I guess it really does.
They've got to be confidential, yeah. You've got to, they've got to have the.
It's surprising that people don't just pick up like a newspaper and go, oh, yeah, I should talk to Wayne about getting my life insured.
It's a bit different to some of those things you see on telly where it's like, you know, ring up and in 2 minutes we can approve you over the phone, all that sort of stuff. Whereas with you guys, it's more you do your fact find. You know, you've got to follow the know your client rule.
Yeah.
You've got to know a lot about the client to be able to, you know, give them the policy that's right for them, that's going to look after them, their family, and that sort of thing. So, sort of, what's a typical day for you? Like, dressing up in a lay with your life ring?
Life boy.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether you'll do that every day, but I know it's on your website. Which is
people are probably familiar with that face.
Yeah.
Logo kind of.
We can cut that bit, can't we? Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. So what's the sort of typical day for you, Wayne? Like,
well,
dressing up in a Hawaiian shirt and getting interviewed overlooking beautiful Merriweather Beach?
Yeah, I could start this every day.
Yeah.
Typical day is I take my daughter to school, and I've got an 8-year-old daughter, so I'll take her to St. Joseph's at Merriweather every day, and I'll get into the office about 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And then it's just a matter of phone calls, appointments, a bit of education along the way. We've got to do our continual training. So in the olden days, in the good old days, it was you just get out there and talk to people and you could sort of sign them up on the spot and get on to the next one.
Yep.
There's so much compliance and paperwork now in any business, I know, but in insurance in particular. So you've got to keep accredited, you've got to keep training, and all that just takes time out of your day.
Yeah, more providers. I know with mortgages, it's like we got three credit updates yesterday from different banks, changing the way they're going to assess people and that sort of stuff. So you've got to be across that. It takes a bit of time, but
So that's why I sort of try and just focus on risk insurance because that's more of my passion. I don't do general insurance, and I can do financial planning, but I don't get into that as much.
Yeah, cool, excellent.
Just keeping that sort of niche.
Oh, that's cool. Well, thanks for coming in, Wayne.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. We only go for about 10
I've got so much. Don't cut me off.
What questions can we ask?
Go for another couple of minutes. We try to keep 10 to 12 minutes.
If there was a question that we could have asked, what would you like us to
ask? Well, when you were talking about giving advice, a lot of you hear a lot of bad stories, and 80% of those relate to people who've got their insurance online. When you mentioned about, you see the ad and there's no paperwork, ring us up, 10 minutes later you've got an insurance policy, which you could do, but the worth of that policy is at claim time.
Yeah.
And if you've gone through that 5-minute telephone conversation and forgot to tell them something about you had blood pressure or had cholesterol, and when they do a check when you go on claim, because they check your Medicare records and find out you've been to the doctor, you didn't tell them this and
that's
that.
They cross you off the list and say,
don't get paid.
Yeah, thanks for your $4 a week for 20 years, but no, we can't help you. Yeah.
And another good example was the floods in Brisbane a couple of years back. A lot of people didn't get paid because they were flooded out.
Hmm.
But the insurance policy they took out didn't cover for floods.
Yeah.
But they thought it did.
Yeah.
And they only found that out when they went to claim. And they, because they didn't have a relationship with it, well, they're only doing it over the internet or over the phone.
Wow, and the person who's on the phone or even...
doesn't know
even them. Just, dare I say, like a big insurance, faceless insurance company, they're not really interested in making sure you know all the loopholes and how they're not going to pay you, are they? Whereas as a, you're an intermediary, so you are interested in that, and you're acting, you're making sure they don't get screwed.
You're acting for the client.
I'm acting for the client. Yeah. In 28 years, I've had one claim that wasn't paid, and that was because he didn't tell us about his back injury.
Yeah.
But other than that, every claim I've had has been paid.
So when people do have, unfortunate accident or that sort of stuff, they ring you. Do you manage the claim process?
I manage the claim, I go to the hospital or I go to the doctors to get the reports. Because a lot of people, if you've got a husband and dying in front of you, it's a very stressful time. You're lucky to write your own name. So you've got to do all that. That's part of the service. Whereas if you do it online, you've got no one. You're out there on your own. So that's the value of having a broker on your side.
We say the same thing for finance, a bit of a segue there into what I do, which is great. Finance broking, same sort of thing, get someone who can sort of chart you through the maze and sort of say, that is the right loan for you, or that is the best loan for you. Yeah, so similar to with insurance and websites and all the other stuff that members of the Beach Business Breakfast
do. Any words of wisdom to pass on to future insurance brokers and real estate agents? I have to obviously give away the secret sauce that's getting
you sort of great business advice you're given.
You must have figured out something over the
Well, I think a couple of good things is find out your niche, what you're really passionate about. Like, for me, it's probably self-employed type trades type people that, need a bit of help doing all their paperwork. Find your niche and just find what you really enjoy going to work. Doing really, I suppose.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like going to work, so if you can find your passion and turn it into your job, that's really, really good.
Find the way you enjoy helping people, make sure you get something out of it, I guess.
Yeah, and be genuine and just be yourself, don't be anyone else. A lot of people wouldn't be this silly like I am. So if you don't like a bit of silliness, you probably wouldn't be my customer, you'd probably be the
someone
straight Joe customer, probably.
Cool. Okay, well, thanks for that, Wayne. Just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, 7:30 till 8:30, $10. Go to the website, beachbusinessbreakfast.com.au. You can see all the other podcasts that we've done. We're slowly getting through all the members. We've got about 240 members. Of the network, so it probably takes a couple of years to do all them.
I think we've got 200. Some of those could be
random members. We don't know. but we have about 40 people to each meeting.
It's a good meeting too, every third Thursday morning. And a beautiful spot here, so couldn't get any better spot anywhere in the world than Maroura Beach.
That's a fantastic place. So thanks for joining us, and thanks, Wayne. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.